WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Battle Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are...
And it is awesome!
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire!
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your hosts.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you.
Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It's that simple. If you also want to follow the channel or hang out and chat, we are happy to have you any way we can get you. And speaking of subs, Matt, it's been 2 years. Congratulations. We are so happy to have you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. You can go to wildtalkradio.com, rockradioshow.com, or twitch.tv/RJLive to join us. You can use the Discord and command to join the community whenever you choose. And there's a brand new command in chat now.
There's a brand new command in chat?
Yeah.
What's the command, Rock?
The command is, I'm going to do it here for everyone. It's the command, dad joke.
We have a dad joke command?
We have a dad joke command now.
Wow. Yet another reason to come over to Twitch and listen to the show on Twitch.
You can do the dad joke command now, and you can do it on Discord as well.
Because we do. We have a Discord.
We do. It's a thing.
So come subscribe to the Discord.
Yep. Easy, free, simple. Just do the Discord command and you can join part of the community. So, hey, we have more things to go along with all the other stupidity that we have going on.
Woo! And we have stuff to talk about tonight. Speaking of stupidity, we have news, notes, NXT, and we will be talking Money in the Bank later in the show, so you don't want to miss that. But I say we jump right into the news brought to our friends over at MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And, well, we have to jump into the news, which there is no really major story.
There is. It's in the injuries, but that's the major story.
Yeah. So, Let's, you know what, let's do the blame runs first.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
So, Brett had a busy week.
He has.
He cost some people some money this week. It's not wrestling related, but it is MMA related, and it's worthy of note because it was just that damn spectacular. Conor McGregor with a broken leg.
Hashtag blame Brent.
I don't know what did it, but I respect it wholeheartedly. Walter has an injured hand.
Hold on, before we go, well, let me hit the button for that. But
hashtag blame Brent.
Going to the Conor one for a second. He had stress fractures apparently before the fight.
Well, that'd do it.
Yeah.
But Walter's hand.
Walter's hand. No idea how. They are building to a title match next week, and
yeah, so not sure what's going on there. It just says he injured his left hand somehow.
And it's legit, according to sources.
Sources. It could be storyline, could be legit, we're not sure. But yeah, whatever hurt it, you have my respect. Because those hands are like mitts, so I don't know what could possibly injure him.
Did he hurt his hand by practicing his chops?
He could have.
He is big enough.
His hand is that powerful.
It is.
It's like The Undertaker. It had to take a break. It's just that powerful.
What?
It's my own personal reference. Deal with it. And last but certainly not least, the biggest story of the week, one that pretty much everybody is legitimately upset about. Right as WWE is preparing to go on the road and ramp up, they lose one of their key performers in Bayley with a torn ACL.
Hashtag blame Brent.
It is described as a freak accident that occurred when they were doing ring work at a mandatory training session at the PC, which was basically set down by Vince McMahon and company to get people ready to go back out on the road, to get them trained back up, to get everything sort of crisp and clean and that kind of thing. So it's exceptionally unfortunate that Bayley had to get injured right now. That hurts.
That sucks for her. She's been the MVP of the Performance Center Thunderdome era. Her character has grown leaps and bounds just by being able to perform to Michael Cole. And she's done a great job at it. She's become a fantastic heel. She's been a great star. Her and Sasha together were awesome for the first 6 months in the whole pandemic era. And yeah, it sucks that she got hurt 8 days beforehand. And now she's going to have to miss 9 months. Which means her road to WrestleMania recovery will get, you know, you got to break out that YouTube music and, you know, build up the whole comeback. Get the Triple H pop, as they call it. Because remember that Triple H pop in 2002 when he came back in Madison Square Garden? That roof blew off that building.
Because nobody was expecting him to be there. And then he just rolled up and everybody was like, oh my God, it's Hunter!
No, everyone knew, but it was his first time back. And like, yeah, it was a pop.
It was incredible. But yeah, I kind of hope they find a way to continue to use her as she recovers, like they have Miz. I'm not saying that they have to wheel her out in a wheelchair, but I know she's been cutting promos. I know she's been doing videos. So I think she's going to try to stay relevant as she heals. She's not going to just go undercover for 9 months.
I think, but honestly, for her, she may want to. Here's why.
Take a little bit of a breather.
Want a breather, too. For someone who loves wrestling the way she does, being around it and not being able to do it.
Oh, yeah, that sucks.
Will hurt. See, they've been bringing in Miz because they've been centralized in one area. So it's like with Bayley, she's going to have surgery. She's going to have to recover and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So taking her and flying her once a week to a new location, probably not the best idea right out of the gate, at least. Because you want her to rehab as much as she can. So you're taking her to travel every week. That's 2 days, 3 days, where she's not able to rehab. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like if she heard it 6 months ago, Performance Center, Thunderdome, it's a car ride. Simple. This, not so much.
Car ride, because I think she lives in Austin.
What? I thought she was San Jose. Either, but you got my point. If she was at the PC doing rehab.
Yeah. Yeah.
PC rehab and then the Thunderdome.
She might have moved back to San Jose, but I remember her saying that she was living down in Austin because she commented that she saw Taker and Michelle quite a bit.
Well, never mind then.
So I think she and the boyfriend were living there, but I don't know if she's still there or not.
Okay.
But she could be. Who knows? But yeah, so get well soon, Bayley. Take a breather. Reset yourself. Come back stronger and better and badder than ever because we miss you. But this also might be good for them to open up space for other returning people because it's going to be all hands to the pump come tomorrow as SmackDown returns in front of fans in Houston, Texas.
And Money in the Bank and everything like that. We'll discuss a name later.
Yeah. A certain man might be making her return soon. In other news, sticking with WWE, Seamus is engaged to his longtime girlfriend, so congratulations to him and her. I expect epic-level wedding pictures of massive proportions from those two, and part of who he's friends with.
Should be a lot of shenanigans.
I can't wait for the wedding pictures if we ever get to see them. I want to give us the shenanigans. Just do it.
Okay. The bachelor party with Seamus and his fellas.
Oh, Jesus. Just, those pictures we won't get to see.
You won't get to see them, but just put it in the brain. Just think about it.
Oh, I already thought about it. There's going to be so much stuff that happens. It's going to be amazing. Anyway, NXT is getting bumped at the end of July, starting on 7/27. The Olympics start, and so it will be moving over to Sci-Fi for 2 weeks as the Olympics run. So mark that on your calendars and make sure you remember so you don't tune in and see an Olympic sport. Although, if you want to watch an Olympic sport, go ahead. But
the show will most likely be taped as well.
Yeah, it just makes sense to, because it's on Sci-Fi. And last but certainly not least, DK Publishing, because we are shameless promotion whores, has released Rule the Ring, so you can expect a review of that very soon.
Thanks to our friends at DK Publishing, we'll have a review of Rule the Ring coming here probably in the next couple weeks.
We love you, DK. Thank you.
But yeah, the Rule the Ring is the book that retakes readers on an exciting journey into the thrilling action of WWE. Learn what it takes to become a WWE champion, perform at WrestleMania, and even escape a steel cage. All that is answered and more in this brand new book, WWE Rule the Ring, the newest addition to DK's Discover What It Takes series, brought to you to life with doodle-style illustrations, making an ideal summer reading choice for readers ages 7 and up.
Ding. Moving on to AEW news, congratulations go out to the Hardys as Rebby Hardy gave birth to a baby girl, Evermore Hardy. So congratulations to her and Matt and the family. Everybody's doing well.
Evermore Hardy. That's a name.
I'm not sure how I feel about it. I mean, I think it's a good name. It's an interesting name.
It's an interesting name, yeah. This is the best way to put it. It's an interesting name.
If they like it, more power to them.
Mm-hmm.
She's their daughter and they're the only ones that have to worry about it. AEW is releasing another video game, The Elite General Manager.
The AEW Legion Manager, the officially licensed fantasy booking game that wrestling fans have been eagerly waiting for since it was first announced in November 2020, is now available worldwide to download and play on iOS and Android devices. AEW's mobile wrestling management simulator from Crystalized Games is the second title released under AEW Games banner. In AEW Elite General Manager, players assume the role of the newest general manager of AEW Dynamite, drafting a roster of wrestlers, building matches, and running the show to generate revenue, new fans, and effect on wrestler stamina and morale. To be a successful general manager in AEW Elite GM, a player must appeal to the foundation of the business, the fans. Every week, players must build, book, and sell the most entertaining AEW shows possible, or it's game over. Additionally, AEW Elite GM offers players the ability to play head-to-head competitively with other managers around the world to determine who can run the best AEW Dynamite show and claim the title of Elite General Manager. Brent, me and you, we'll do the thing. Anyway, it's available to download right now at Google Play Stores or on the App Stores. I did something called EWR back in the day. Wait, no, did I run this? Run the In Here Comes the Pain? I might have run the Here Comes the Pain version. Or SmackDown vs. Raw, I think it was. Yeah, the game app mode everyone loves from 2007 is now a mobile app from AEW. Enjoy!
Ding!
We may have played it back in the early stages of the pandemic. We may have.
I think you did. I think you queued it up on a stream because we needed content or you wanted to do content or something.
I was bored. It was like the first month of lockdown.
Yeah. So it's like, hey, we're going to pay Here Comes the Pain.
Or whatever it was, yeah.
Congratulations go out to the Big Show crew as Go Big Show has been renewed for another season. So congratulations to them. Cody is slated to return. Mm-hmm. So yeah, good for him.
Good for him.
And in other news, Chelsea Green has signed with ROH. So congratulations to her.
She made her ROH debut on Sunday at Best in the World. It's fun watching you edit the document as we're going.
I just realized it wasn't in there, and I'm like, oh, I should probably put that in there. Yeah, we can edit the sheet live as we're on the air. We can sit here and type notes to each other. It's awesome.
It's going to be a disaster by the end of it.
It's going to be a shit show. Not that we couldn't type notes to each other before, because, you know, we have Skype, but still.
We now have a new toy, and we love new toys.
And new toys are awesome. So, all right, with that, I say we do NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
what a show this was. A lot of drama-filled action.
There's only one thing I want to talk about on this show.
There's a couple of things I want to talk about on this show.
Which one
do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about Indy Hartwell straight up walking off or trying to walk off with Dexter Loomis and picking him up and carrying him out bridal style.
So Dexter Loomis lost to Santos Escobar. And go.
That's not the story. You know, that is what it is.
That's the backstory. So now talk about her involvement.
So during the break, which I don't like that this keeps happening during the break. I want to hear this. I want to see this like as it happens in real time. I feel like we deserve that as fans, that we get that in real time. But, you know, Dexter's on the ring apron. He's been beat up by Santos's boys. He's tired. He's exhausted. He's sore. And out comes Indy Hartwell. And, you know, as Dexter's done so many times where he picks her up and he carries her off, Indy decides she's going to return the favor. She's going to help her man. And so she scoops him up and starts to walk off with him, which is, given the size difference between the two, hilarity. But she's carrying him up the ring, and I kind of wish they had let her carry him out, because girl could legit do it. But they didn't let her. She trips, in quotations, and she falls to the ground, and oops, she falls on top of Dexter. And that's when their eyes meet, and they lock. And your girl comes swinging in to get a kiss from her love. And then just like that, mom comes swooping in. Candace is having none of this shit. She cock blocks Indy, drags her off of Dexter, and is like, no, no, we're not doing this. No, you go to your room, young lady. No.
And as Brent mentioned early in the show, Beth Phoenix was like, girl, take a chance.
Just like hunt him down. Wherever he goes, I'm sure he's not hard to find. Like, for her, I'm sure he's not hard to find. Just like take him down somewhere and just have your way with him, please. And then report back to all of us. How it went. But yeah, I love that they're heating this back up again. I love that we're continuing on with this. I love Candace's part in this whole thing, how she really has embraced being the mom of the group.
Yeah.
And she really is just doing a wonderful job in the Index storyline, where she's trying to like stop Indy, which honestly, at this point, I'm not sure why she's trying to stop Indy. But she's just doing it because she can. She's like, no, we're not doing this. Nope. So we'll see how it progresses. But this was good. This was really well done.
So, you know, there's other things that happened on the show that you may enjoy.
Oh, I enjoyed this whole show immensely.
To the moon?
Okay. All right. This had its ups and this had its down. But the ups were, we had the official $1 million butler. As Cameron Grimes has to pay his penance for losing the title match at the Great American Bash. And so he becomes LA Knight's butler, right? So LA Knight, Cameron rolls up. He's late. He's like, yeah, man, whatever. And, you know, he's ready, willing, and able. So LA Knight's like, yeah, man, I can't have you walking around like this. You look like a schlump. So I'm going to fix you up. So they get the Maestros guys. A cameo. You know, thanks for all the hard work, guys. Here's a cameo in NXT. And they clean Cameron up. They shine him up. They spiff him up. They give him a little trim, little haircut, you know, making him look all fine. And then they stick him in the most ill-fitting tails I think I've ever seen in my life. I have so many issues with them. And it was mainly the pants. The jacket was okay, but the pants were just weird. There was like this little dinky bow tie situation, which I'm like, you can't get him like an actual physical bow tie. Or tie with a vest.
So the one thing he liked out of the whole setup were the white gloves.
They made him feel fancy.
Very fancy. So they do all that, and then he's asked to like cut the lawn, and we see him cutting the lawn, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we come back, and he is lounging on a chair.
Oh, he's... Well, we have to talk about cutting the lawn, because, like, LA Knight takes him out there, right? And he's like, I want my yard cut. And there's a tractor sitting right there. And Cameron's like, yeah, sure, no problem. I can do that. And Knight's like, no. No, no. I want you to cut it with this. And it's a push mower. And I'm sitting there looking at it, and I'm like, he's in a full suit. And you're going to make him cut the lawn with a push mower in the Florida heat in July. Dude's going to die.
So he attempts to push it.
And he was fine with it, and he's skipping along, and then we come back, and yeah, so Cameron's out by the pool, but Cameron's not in his suit anymore. Oh no, he decided to cool off, and this is where this took a really weird turn, because we have Cameron Grimes in his Calvin Klein briefs, just all hanging out, cowboy boot, white gloves.
The white gloves. The key word is the white gloves.
He kept the white gloves for some reason, and shades, and he has a drink. I think he had a cowboy hat on, didn't he?
I don't remember the hat.
I want to say he had a hat on. Like, I really want to say he had the hat, or my brain just might be making that connection, because it's like, that's just what it should be, right? You know, that he was, that's how he was dressed.
See, we've been watching a lot of things with cowboy hats lately, so.
Y'all, we saw the most epic level realtor in Australia. You just don't even know. Like, you really don't know what you missed. There is a man in Australia walking around calling himself Jesse James in a cowboy hat, and he sells houses. It's amazing. Anyway, I digress. But yeah, so there's Cameron, right? And LA Knight's like, WTF, what are you doing? And Cameron gets up and he's like, oh yeah, you don't know, man. I got your yard situation took care of. I paid somebody to do it.
Paid a kid.
It's a little questionable and dicey because the kid comes in and it is a child of color, which is maybe not the best choice here for that you made a child cut the grass in the Florida heat, and you kind of emphasize the stereotype a little bit here. Like, that was not great.
Wasn't the best look, but it's fine.
It's fine. It got the effect. No, he did not have the hat on. I just found the clip. He did not have the hat on. He had white gloves, so he's sitting there with lemonade. Anyway, so you have the kid come in. He wants to get paid. LA Knight's like, yeah, no, this is not what I wanted.
By the way, he pulls the money out of his underwear.
Which was questionable. It's like this whole thing. This went from, like, comedy to what in the brazers am I watching in, like, two segments.
True.
Like, it was just because LA Knight's standing there and he's in, like, jeans and this leather vest situation. I just was like, okay, all right. And so basically Cameron pulls the money out for the kid out of his waistband of his underwear. Okay. I mean, I understand he has nowhere else to stick it, but you could have had his wallet sitting on the table. And LA Knight's like, no, I'm not going to let you do that. Knocks the money out of Cameron's hands. And the kid is like, oh, F this, and kicks LA Knight. And LA Knight's like, oh, ow, my leg. Ow, ow. And then Cameron's like, oh, my money. Let me get it. And he bends over and he knocks LA Knight into the pool.
Yeah.
And LA Knight is less than thrilled with his butler. And Cameron's like, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. Let me get a rake. I'm really sorry. I this was good. This was really entertaining. I don't know how I feel about it, though.
Yeah, I can see why.
Because, like, that last segment was just like, what?
It was a whole lot of stuff.
We know what Cameron Grimes is working with now. That we got that. I think you could have, like, had him in swim trunks and it would have been okay. Or not literally his underwear. Because that was just, especially with the kid right there. Like, it was awkward enough because basically, yeah, he's just, and I can't get off the underwear part. He's standing there in his underwear, junk out. Like, there's no padding or anything to disguise what's going on down there. Right? So he's dick out essentially on national television. And then you have a child there. I mean, granted, the kid was, like, probably 13 or 14 years old, but still! And there were choices made. I don't think they were the best choices, but I guess it got the job done.
It did. So, other things that happened on the show. Dakota Kai, Ember Moon, that was a fantastic match with Dakota getting the win.
This was so, so good. And I liked how they talked about, you know, Tegan getting called up and what that meant for Ember.
Or Shotzi, you should say.
Or, I'm sorry, yeah, Shotzi.
Well, Tegan got called up as well, but it was Shotzi that affected it.
Well, I'm sure, I think Tegan affected Ember too, but yeah, Shotzi getting called up and how that effectively broke up the tag team, and now Ember's looking to go back into singles competition, which is really good that they highlighted that and how she's now having to kind of rebuild a little bit and move forward from there. So, but yeah, this was absolutely fantastic. I wouldn't mind seeing it again.
After the match, Xia Li came out and confronted Raquel Gonzalez and challenged her to a title match.
Okay, I'm here for it. She did not have Boa or Tian Shao with her.
No, she just stormed to the ring by herself. You have mine, or basically. Okay, the problem we're going to have with this match is the problem I outlined like 3 months ago. Size.
Yeah, Xia Li's a little small, but that's okay. She's mighty.
She's small and mighty, but it was very evident. She has the confidence of the tallest woman in the room, so that's a good thing.
I think And I don't like that they're doing it without any build. I think it's just for Xia Li. It's kind of like, well, this was always the intent, was to get her here. And so now we're just going to do it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, just because Raquel needs a challenger. And they don't have anybody that can necessarily challenge right now ready for her. So it's, we need her to defend, but we need to find her basically a person to defend against. So it's like, well, Xia Li could give her a run for her money because she had a good match with Mercedes Martinez. So it's like, well, let's see how this goes.
So we had some setup from earlier in the day where Malcolm Bivens and the Diamond Mine were talking with Mackenzie Mitchell, and they were having an open challenge, and then Bobby Fish walked up and went, "I'll face you, Roderick." Bivens is like, "Nope." The open challenge was for Tyler Rust. So it's Tyler Rust, Bobby Fish, one-on-one. Tyler Rust got the win.
I liked the interactions between Bobby and Roderick here.
Yeah, it was nice. Little tease for the future.
Yeah, we're setting things up there, and I like it.
Saray defeated Gigi Dolan. There's only one thing to say about this match.
Did she find her teeth?
I was going to say holy dropkick, but that too.
Yeah, holy dropkick. Saray kicked Gigi Dolan in the face so hard that her neck literally snapped back over the ropes, and I'm pretty sure they're still looking for her teeth in the fifth row. Like, I'm 90% sure. When you have Shawn Michaels on Twitter going, ow, 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 in response, you know what's up. Like, that was not, if that was a worked kick, that was a heck of a worked dropkick, because that looked like it hurt like hell, because she was checking her teeth afterwards. I wouldn't be surprised if something got knocked loose.
We'll see. She wasn't on the injury report, so that's good.
Yeah, no. I think she's okay, but yeah, that was, it was badass looking, but it was scary looking.
One thing we didn't mention during the Dexter Lumis Santos Escobar match afterwards, Legado del Fantasma and Hit Row had a stare down.
Yeah, that was a thing. I was more concerned about Index at that point.
Because
while that stare down is going on, Index is happening, and we didn't get to see it live. We had to see it after the fact, which was disappointing.
In the NXT Breakout Tournament, Duke Hudson defeated Eichmann Giro. Solid match.
Good match.
Kaden Carter and Casey Catanzaro defeated Jesse Camara and Aaliyah. Afterwards, well, Aaliyah said, "Screw you, Robert Stone," and walked away. And then Frankie Monet showed up and looked at Jesse and like, okay. Oh, the one thing I forgot to mention, because there was something else that happened in the story match. But no, so they walked away, and Frankie Monet showed up. She left with Jesse and Robert. Did Frankie. In the Saray match, Bandy showed up and was watching with the action. What reminded me of that was, after commercial, we saw them backstage, and Manny's like, "It looks like the Robert Stone brand is under new management. The Frankie Monet management? But why is Mandy in NXT?"
There's some moving and some shaking going on there. I'm not sure what it is yet, but I'm curious.
It appears a trade has been made. Aaliyah for Mandy.
Yeah. That seems to be what's going on. Because Dana Brooke was like, "Okay, I guess."
It was a thing. It happened. She thanked her partner. Adam Cole addressed the CWC and talked about beating Kyle last week. And then started talking about Samoa Joe. Even called out Samoa Joe. But instead of getting Samoa Joe, he got Bronson Reed. And they set up a match for the coming weeks.
Well, you know, Joe just sent his son. That's all.
Mm-hmm. So throughout the evening, Samoa Joe made it clear to the men involved in the main event what's supposed to happen in the main event. Many a stare down happened.
I feel like this was the trials and tribulations and general annoyances of Samoa Joe, because first he goes to see Karrion Kross, and there was just all kinds of tension involved in that thing that was both good and bad. I still want to see Joe take on Scarlett, just because I'm fairly sure she could take him. But yeah, Karrion and Joe, there's some jostling for position there in terms of who's the top. And we're going to get to what happened with that later. But the Garganos, the way with Joe, that was such an FML moment for him. And it was so beautifully played.
It was.
He's like, just kill me now, please.
But then it took you to the main event, Karrion Kross, Johnny Gargano, NXT title on the line. Didn't go as we thought.
Mm-mm.
Karrion Kross retained the title in a pretty solid matchup between the two. It was really good. It was entertaining. You had a lot of Joe moments.
Yeah, there was a lot of intense stare downs. There was a lot of jockeying for position between Joe and Carrion. Again, they teased that tension really, really well. You had Johnny there to sort of, you know, be Johnny and do what he does best. And these two had a really great exchange, really good back and forth. There's a moment on the outside between Joe and Carrion and Johnny where Carrion gets the steel steps and Joe walks out and grabs the steel steps from Carrion. And he's like, no, we're not having that. And the two kind of have a stare down. And Scarlett's kind of right there in the background, like, what is about to happen? And do I need to interfere? It was really, really good. But yes, as you said, Johnny Gargano didn't win. So everybody's like, wait, what's going on here? And the whole night, they kind of had Joe have intense stare downs with everybody. This also included Pete Dunne. There's a moment between those two. And then Pete went running to his father.
Yeah.
On Twitter.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that. But yeah, it's like the whole night you're kind of sitting here and you're watching what they're doing with the Joe and you're like, are they doing what I think they're doing? Because they kind of put out a subtle little tweet last week talking about, you know, if Joe could face any of these six men, and it was a picture of like Pete Dunne and Adam Cole and Karrion Kross and Johnny Gargano and the list goes on and on and on. Who would you want to see Joe face?
Mm-hmm.
Right. The what if scenario.
Yeah.
Well, Tuesday night, they kind of teased the what-if scenario, and then the what-if scenario became the are-they-gonna-go-there scenario, because after the match, you have Karrion and Joe finally break the tension, they get into it, they get physical, and Karrion puts Joe in his own submission hold and chokes Joe out, as Scarlett watches with glee. Karrion has chosen death, because if it means what we all think it means, somebody may have gotten cleared.
Quite the possibility. You don't know for sure, but
we know he's been cleared to be physical, which is that's what this was. But they could do with Joe what they did with Daniel, which it's a match-by-match basis, and they check him every time after the match to make sure he's okay. It could be one of those.
But this could also be a Steve Austin thing where Joe's cleared to be physical, but not take bumps.
They can't do that, though. They can't.
But they can.
Jesus.
They can.
They can't.
You say they can't, but they can.
Oh, I know they can, but you can't tease us like that and then not pay it off.
Incorrect. How many times did Shawn Michaels and Daniel Bryan get into something and we all thought it would lead to something and it didn't lead to anything?
This is different.
It's not.
This is different.
Shawn
was less of a possibility because I think by the time he got around to Daniel, like fully, Shawn was all but retired.
But Shawn would super kick Daniel Bryan and knock him out and everyone thought Shawn was coming back. Didn't happen until another couple of years later where he did the thing in Saudi. But it was always a rumor and speculation that it could happen. I'm just saying, they've teased us before with stuff. It won't stop them from doing it.
But let's all hope it means what we think it means. Joe
is cleared.
That Joe's cleared.
But I'm just playing devil's advocate of what could, in fact, be the thing.
Oh, I know. And if not, then it's William Regal's got a problem on his hands because now Karrion Kross has attacked Samoa Joe. And Samoa Joe's going to come back looking for blood. And he's not necessarily going to listen to William Regal about, you know, not attacking talent because Joe is not talent. He's an enforcer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Joe's also been provoked.
He has.
Heavily provoked.
He has.
Karrion has kind of struck first blood here. So it's Joe is now going to get physical. This is where you could do an unsanctioned kind of fight between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Where they get physical with each other. And that's another way around it.
We'll have to see.
We will have to see. But with that, I say we take our first and only break of the evening. And when we come back, we are going to be talking all about Money in the Bank and previewing it for you. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports. video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night's
Bang! Event.
CB Radio. Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Mondays. Once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy f- moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, y'all, you want to get social with the Rack? Follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/rackradioshow.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
WWE Superstar Natalya, and you're listening to the Rack Radio Show.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out. YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is really that simple. And with that, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Way down here. Okay. Trying to figure out where I left off because, you know, I forgot to. Okay, there we go. I found the bottom.
Oh, before you go, Bailey is apparently now in surgery because she just posted that picture.
Good luck, Bailey. We're with you.
She tweeted, "Can't wait to miss the first show in front of fans again. I blame you for this. Thanks a lot." There we go.
We're with you, Bailey. We support you wholeheartedly. Kayla Braxton. Walking to the fridge in the middle of the night to shovel shredded cheese into my mouth while dropping half on the floor and waiting to clean it up in the morning is one habit I don't intend on ever breaking. We're with you, Kayla. I support this decision wholeheartedly. Goliathan. Hey, Dr. Lupo. You seeing this? And it's a chart from Wingstop that says boneless wings in one circle, boneless thighs in another circle, and in the middle of the two circles, not chicken nuggets. Dr. Lupo. They're fancy nuggets. Wingstop needs to accept that. Wingstop replies, don't do this to us. He's going to do it.
He's going to do it.
Hurricane Helm, someone in Food Line just yelled, "I ain't eating no damn it diet ice cream." It was me. I mean, it's a Food Line, so it's appropriate.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Tim Tatman, I'll never get out of Silver 3 in Valorant. whips. It's fall, guys, all over again.
True.
Kathy Kelly, if there's a world record for longest time staying in a towel after showering, I would like to set it. CBS Sports. A one-year-old baby boy born in Tampa has seen as many championship wins as a 50-year-old Mets, Jets, Knicks, Rangers fan. That's dropping straight facts right there. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, normally, when it comes to Tweet a Week, we just read tweets, right?
Yes.
This is an audio tweet from Jordan Fisher.
Oh.
Social culture is weird as hell, man. Like, I just left, like, a really great meeting with my team, and we were talking about all sorts of stuff, but mainly just, like, in the great name of elevating, like, growing. And I realized, based on, like, some things that happened today in these meetings, that, like, there's some friction or some tension or whatever. And what came from that is my thought process. Actually, I said this in the meeting as well. It's like, friction leads to growth. Like, that's what we need. And then I was thinking about that in the car on the way home. And I'm like, that's really good. Like, friction leads to growth. That's a good tweet. I'll tweet that. And then I was like, that's also a really good dick joke. What's the better tweet? And then I was genuinely like, am I going to take an opportunity to, like, speak impactfully and remind people, like, yeah, if you want to really grow and elevate in your life, like, you have to like, be uncomfortable sometimes. You have to have a little friction. Otherwise, you won't grow. If you don't shake things up, like, you're not going to grow. But it'd also be really, really funny if I say, like, quote, friction leads to growth, quote, Adam's first boner, 2000 BC. I don't know. Y'all tell.
Jordan Fisher, everyone. Now starring on The Flash on CW.
Did he get to see it?
I don't know.
Does anybody know if Jordan Fisher actually got to see himself on The Flash?
I'm not sure if he was able to or not, but that's Tweet of the Week.
All right. Let's talk about it, because WWE, they're back. They're back on the road. They're headed to Texas.
Hashtag WWE is back.
WWE is back. We're doing Money in the Bank in front of fans on Sunday on Peacock in the U.S. and the WWE Network, literally everywhere else, or on pay-per-view providers, whatever you like. And to say that I'm excited, I think, is an understatement. And it's not necessarily that I am excited for this pay-per-view. I am excited for the return of fans. I am excited to be out of the Thunderdome and see something new and different, because they've been doing a lot of teases that they're going to have new sets and they're going to have new visual experiences and they're going to be doing all these different things. Like, they've taken the last 16 or so months and they have embraced technology in terms of revamping their product for when they do go back out on the road. And I'm really curious to see what all they're planning to do, because they've been kind of, like, leading that charge a little bit with, like, the 3D sort of, like, inserts that they have on the show. But I think they're going to go beyond that.
There's going to be a new presentation starting tomorrow night on Fox on SmackDown. It's just sold out from Houston. Listen to those words. Sold out in Houston, Texas.
People are ready to go, man. People want the wrestling. They want to see it. And I think people are excited for it. I'm still debating going when they're here in Atlanta.
Tickets are on sale tomorrow for a lot of events. So buy your tickets now. But Money in the Bank in Fort Worth, just them saying it on Monday where they're going to be in Fort Worth, Texas. It's like, that's cool. It's Texas, then Texas is whatever. But there's a city attached to the location of an event again. I watch old SmackDowns and I've been watching, like, the start, because they just put up SmackDown on Peacock. Watching the old SmackDowns and they say it's live from this place, and this place is, like, it's not the award-winning Thunderdome. It's Fort Worth, Texas. It's Houston. It's Atlanta. It's Portland, Oregon. And it's Seattle, Washington. It's wherever things go. SummerSlam's in Las Vegas. Like, you know, it's like, it's nice.
It's nice, and you go back and you watch old stuff for WWE, or you see the old clips of WWE, and you're like, wow, remember when it used to have fans, remember what it used to be like, you know? And it's the same thing could be said for any sport, but WWE has held out the longest, because it's like NFL has gradually gotten their fans back, MLB has their fans back, soccer has their fans, you know, we're waiting on wrestling to, hockey has their fans. So it's like, we're waiting on wrestling to get theirs back. And the wrestling promotions have been trickling in, and WWE is kind of the last one to really do it. And we're all anticipating it. We're all ready for it. And I think, and we talked a little bit about this on Monday, but I want to talk about this here, that the residency in Florida, I think, did them a lot of good.
They did
a lot of harm.
They learned a lot.
I think they learned a lot. I think they've been able to tweak their product. I think they understand their product better now, having been in one location and without having that audience feedback. And I think they understand exactly how valuable, if they didn't before, I'm sure they do now, how valuable the audience feedback really is when they get into buildings with crowds, and how to listen to those cues and listen to that audience better. And I think we will see potentially a change in the product, because we have been seeing subtle changes here and there based on that, because they've tried to book based on what they're seeing on social media, right? And what they're seeing on analytics alone, and it's not enough. So now it's like they're getting their biggest factor back, which is audience reaction and who's getting over and who's not. And I think that will make a difference. I think for the talent, it's been really, really good, because a lot of them have been able to go home and be with their families for 16 months and work on their bodies, work on their diet, work on the wrestling, improve their skills. And they can do that from the safety of the Thunderdome every week, where it's like, you know, for those that aren't local, they just fly into Orlando or Tampa every week. It's one day. They get a lot of rest. It's taken a lot of like wear and tear off of people's bodies. Like, people have been able to heal because they're not working 3-4 shows a week. They're down to one. And there for a while, they weren't even working every week. They were working every other week because one show was taped. So it's saved a lot of wear and tear on people. I think it's prevented a lot of injuries. Have we seen injuries? Yes, we have, Bailey. But it's prevented a lot of injuries as well. And so I think when they come back on the road for the roster that they have, because we have seen people get let go, unfortunately, it will be a much healthier roster.
If you haven't seen it, after the show, go to Kevin Owens on Twitter and listen to the video he put out. He spoke very passionately about going back out on the road and going back to Houston. To him, he's out there to make a special moment for everyone. He's jacked up. You heard reports that everyone's like amped to go. You know, like, Sami Zayn tweeted, with the exception of the convenient omission of Sami Zayn and his masterful ability to play the audience like a delicate instrument, this video is an excellent reminder, the one that Vince McMahon put out there, which is great. The fans are the show. Disgruntled as I seem, I am excited to play with your tender little hearts again.
I think they got a taste at WrestleMania. I think they got a tease. I think they've missed the fans. It has to be incredibly hard to do what they do, and we've talked about this multiple times. They rely on those cheers and those boos and those pops and those moments with the fans to help make it something special. And when you don't have that there, it's really difficult to do your job. And a lot of them, I think, have just been dialing it in, because it's like they don't want to put their best stuff out there right now, because there's really no point to them for doing it, because they're not going to hear the reaction to it.
For 16 months, it's been a studio show where you've been playing to us at home and not the people in the building. Now, it's about playing to the audience once again. The people in front of you, the people are paying ticket to see you perform. When you go to these events, people, cheer the good guys. Boo the bad guys. Don't be jackasses. Don't be like AEW fans jumping guardrails.
Please don't jump any guardrails. They'll kick your ass.
They will kick your ass. Do not jump guardrails. But be a part of the show. Don't overtake the show. Like, don't hijack the show like we've seen in the past. You're paying hard-earned money. Be a part of the show. Be as loud as you can. Please be loud.
Yeah, please be loud. Please have those reactions. But yeah, if you're paying... Okay. So I just want to say this. I wasn't going to say anything, but I have to say something. If you're going to go to the show to be a dick and try to hijack the show and try to ruin the experience for everybody, you're playing your fucking self. Here's why. Because you're giving WWE the one thing that they want from you outside of your reactions. You're giving them your money. They win. Whether you hijack their show or not, they win because they have your money, because they convinced you, good, bad, or indifferent, to give them your hard-earned dollars to go to their show. So if your intent is to go to hijack their show, to make them feel bad or to ruin their night or whatever, hey, guess what? You're not going to succeed, because they have exactly what they want from you. So maybe think about that. Mm-hmm. Maybe, especially in the future, like, what they want are monies and ratings from you. So just be smart. But if you do go with the intent of hijacking, don't. Go have fun. Go enjoy it. You want to know why? Because none of us have been able to go to wrestling, at least for WWE, in 16 months. Think about that. 16 months. It's been Florida only. You can fly in and you can try to go see it. If you can get in Jacksonville. But even that's difficult.
And WWE waited this long because they did not want to go out there, start, and stop. They wanted to just go. That's why they're technically second to last, because Impact has it on Saturday. But they're behind in AEW, because AEW's been out on the road for 2 weeks. And they've been having fans for almost a year at this point. WWE waited. Because they did not want to be shut down. They can't afford to be shut down. Now that they're back, hashtag WWE's back, this is going to be a full-on, hey, we're going to give you everything you want and then some. Even if you may not like some of the names returning, for contractual reasons, because they have two matches a year, you're still going to get some epic surprises, epic moments. And guess what? It's going to be fun. Wrestling with fans is fun. And starting tomorrow on SmackDown, it's going to be a ride. Will we see some of the old WWE tropes? Probably, but guess what? What is old is new again. WWE, the wrestlers are going to be so... The wrestlers, you hear talking like Big E and Drew and Kevin, and you hear them all talking. They're ready to do this. They're ready to give us a show to remember going forward, because they realized we can't half-ass this anymore. We got to go. Our livelihood is putting butts in the seats again. We've been off for 16 months. It's time to go to work again.
And this is why I think, kind of bringing it back around, Money in the Bank is probably going to be more insane than it normally is, just because you do have people going back out in front of fans for the first time. And you have two ladder matches booked on this card, and they've been saving those big moments, those big spots in those ladder matches prior for this entire time. Like, they haven't done anything crazy or necessarily risky because they're not going to get the audience pop, so it's not worth it to them. And that's been kind of a stigma on the product. It's hurt the product. So I feel like when they go out there on Sunday, you're going to get a show that you haven't seen maybe ever, but at the very least not for a long time. Because I think both Money in the Bank matches, I think every match on this card has the potential to tear it down.
There's no more creative editing pre-tape stuff. This is a go. We're not going through the offices this year in front of Money in the Bank. We're not fighting to the roof. We're doing it in the ring. Briefcase hanging above. And you gotta pull that sumbitch down and win it. And that's where we start.
The men's Money in the Bank ladder match. Ricochet, Matt Riddle, John Morrison, Drew McIntyre, Big E, Kevin Owens, King Nakamura, and Seth Rollins all vie for a chance to get the contract. I don't know who's gonna win. I know who I want to win. There's a couple people I want to win, but I don't know who's going to actually win.
There's a name I do not want to win on this list.
Okay.
I don't want the Drew McIntyre scenario.
We love you, Drew.
Drew's awesome. He was a fantastic interview. But I don't want the backdoor Drew McIntyre cash in. He doesn't need Money in the Bank to get back in the title picture. Because as he said, a lot of Drew content. Get him out. Like, save it. Save him. Don't overexpose him. Let him be an attraction in the semi-main, because you're going to need a lot of semi-mains for the road. Let the champ be whoever it is, and Drew will get it back. He doesn't need Money in the Bank to get that opportunity again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we could pull for Drew and whatever, but it's like, I don't need him winning Money in the Bank, because he's already in that main event. You guys got, like, look at Riddle. They've done a fantastic job building him lately. Like, he's one of the most over acts right now. He deserves that opportunity. Because then he could, in his mind, I can give this briefcase to my buddy Randy, because we'll make good and all that other thing.
Maybe.
But the ladder match is an opportunity for Riddle to shine. Like, Drew needs the pop. He can get the pop from the crowd for anything right now. Him putting his sword in the thing will get a big pop.
You can put Drew, realistically, in a title feud, in a title match, anytime you want. He has achieved that status that he is a solidified main eventer. He doesn't need a reason to be in the title match. He's Drew McIntyre. And because of that, I don't think he necessarily needs Money in the Bank. In this instance, it would help because with Bobby Lashley, with the way that they did the match last month, he can get no more title matches as long as Bobby is champion, right? He can't do it because he's run out of chances. So the backdoor way in is he wins Money in the Bank and he can challenge Bobby Lashley for the title, which you could do, and you could do it in front of fans, but I don't think Drew is necessarily interested in doing that right now. I think Drew is interested in working with other people because he had a long feud with Bobby Lashley. They had a series of matches. They were fine. They were good. They were serviceable. But I don't think anybody's ready to see it again because they had so many matches and the feud lasted for several months. So it's like, do something new. Like, they have Bobby working with Kofi, and you had Bobby take this really serious turn with Kofi, which we're going to talk about here in a little bit. But in terms of Drew, I love Drew. I think he's fantastic. I think he's been absolutely one of the workhorses during the COVID Thunderdome era. Like, he's gone out there and he has been there every week, and he's been doing the interviews and doing the Shark Weeks and doing everything he can to be the face of the company and carry the company on his shoulders. But I think also at the same time, he doesn't need Money in the Bank because of all of that, because of everything he's done. He's solidified himself. I think you could give it to someone like a Ricochet or someone like a Big E or a Shinsuke Nakamura and have them carry around the Money in the Bank briefcase and be that headache to the champions. And you use it as a way to build people as that sort of like, oh, hey, here I am. I can take this off of you anytime you want, you know, and all of this logic goes to Seth Rollins too. Seth Rollins doesn't need Money in the Bank. Would it be good TV? Yeah, absolutely. It would be fantastic TV. Seth would be absolutely obnoxious. Same thing with Kevin. I think Kevin's actually won Money in the Bank, hasn't he?
No.
No?
No.
I thought he had.
No. Kevin would be interesting.
Hold on. Kevin would be fun.
Because that would get him back in the title picture. Because since the Rumble stuff and everything leading up to WrestleMania, he's sort of fallen back down. And you don't want to go repeat the Roman-Kevin stuff this soon, but you could. But, like, Kevin having the briefcase would be fun. In terms of elevation, Nakamura doesn't need it because they just gave him the crown. He's now King Nakamura. But he has something going, and you don't need a... I don't think Shinsuke going back in the title picture is necessarily the move right now, because I think he's better as a mid-card act right now, just for where he is in his career.
Yeah, and I can understand that, and I can respect that, but it's like Shinsuke with the briefcase would be completely fine. I would be okay with it. I don't see it being John Morrison, but at the same time, he's been in the act with Miz since he came back. Miz is still hurt, and it makes sense that Morrison gets his hands on the Money in the Bank briefcase, which could lead to some tension between him and Miz. And would they break up, and could they potentially feud over that contract? It's a possibility. Or could Morrison give it to Miz?
If you want to make Morrison more serious in a way, you put it on him. I don't expect it to put him. If you're really serious about Ricochet, then you strap it on him. But I don't know how serious there are about Ricochet. I think he's still not what they want. I think he's the spot monkey in this match, along with John Morrison, to give that big 450 splash off the thing.
See, I don't know. It's hard to pick this because they've been in a holding pattern for 2 months, and they haven't really strapped the rocket to anybody since WrestleMania. Like, they've kind of half-assed it with some people, but not really, because they knew where they were going out on the road. And so it's like, well, we're just going to wait, and we're going to keep people off TV, and we're not going to really do a lot until we go back out on the road. And the part of the problem with that is that you lost a lot of your momentum for people coming out of WrestleMania. And so now we're sort of back where everybody's kind of on an even keel. You don't really know in this instance who to pick, because it's like, well, any of these men would be fine.
Any of
these men would work. You can take a story and build a story with any person in this match.
The one
we haven't talked about is Big E.
I was going to go there. For Big E, he needs to get out of this thing with Apollo Crews. And I think moving him out, giving him the briefcase would get him away from Apollo Crews, because that just was something.
Well, I feel like with Big E, for whatever reason, they decided to split him out of New Day, and when they did the last draft, and I think they did it assuming that they were going to get ready to go back out on the road. They made him the Intercontinental Champion. They kind of strapped the rocket to him, and then it just sort of fizzled, and he went into this feud with Apollo, And it's just continued to fizzle out. And it's kind of one of those things that it's like, are you going to do the thing with E or are you not going to do the thing with E? Because I think they have a really big star in Big E. Pun intended. No, pun not intended. However you want to take it. But they just, it feels like they're afraid to pull the trigger on him. And part of that is no audience.
No, and part of it is Roman's gotten over as gangbusters in this role that he's in, and putting Big E up against Roman Reigns right now would have stopped every bit of momentum Big E had. So him moving to do something else was completely a better idea in theory, because look at what happened with Cesaro, and where he's back. He ran up against the Roman Reigns machine, and once you run against that Roman Reigns machine, your momentum kind of
fizzles
because Roman right now is the top guy. He is the big dog. He is the head of the table. So there is like no breaking through that till they're ready to, and by the sounds of it, they're not ready to break through that.
I'm saying at least SummerSlam.
Longer than that if you smell what I'm cooking.
Yeah. They could take it all the way to Mania. He could have it all the way to Mania. I think, though, that makes him a little stale by the time you get him there.
But he could possibly lose the belt, but the ceiling is there.
Yeah, the ceiling is there, and that's why it's like in that instance with Roman on SmackDown, it makes sense to put it on somebody, even though they don't need it like a Seth. Because Seth could just be that thorn, that perfect thorn in Roman's side, right? Especially given all the history between the two with the characters that they're doing now. Even though Seth is technically a heel, he could be that annoyance, that little fly around Roman that is like, yeah, no, I'm going to time my moment. Because Seth brought it up. Who did he cash in on the last time he won it? Cashed in on Roman Reigns after he beat Brock Lesnar for the title at WrestleMania.
No, not even when he beat him for it. He cashed in during the match. Made it a three-way.
And pinned Roman. So it's something that you could put it on Seth and it would work. I just don't see it going to Seth.
So when it boils down to it, the logic in my head goes Big E. Second choice would be Riddle.
See, my head's going with either Big E or Kevin Owens.
Okay. But I was going Raw and SmackDown, one from each.
But here's my thought process on that, mm-hmm. is that you could have the Money in the Bank winner cash in on either brand.
Oh, you could.
It's not restrictive. So, and I feel like with the reduced down rosters, you're going to have it where more often than not, they're probably together, especially when they start doing house shows again. So I don't think they're doing a split roster or that they're really reducing down their house show touring staff. I don't know. But I don't see anybody from Raw winning it.
Okay.
I think it's going to be somebody on SmackDown because I think it's going to be somebody that can just sort of be there to be that ever-present threat to Roman that's in the back of his mind because he doesn't have that right now. Like, Bobby has it on Raw because he has people like Drew hanging around who he knows can beat him, right? And now he's been beaten by Xavier Woods and he can be beaten by Kofi. So he has challengers there that can take him down. Roman doesn't necessarily have that. So he needs that ever-present threat of somebody hovering, right? Of somebody right there breathing down his neck, ready to take his title, and they can take his title by outsmarting him.
Mm-hmm.
And that adds another level of stress because I've been saying this for a while, ever since Roman really won the title, is it's not going to be somebody who physically beats him down for it. It's going to be somebody who outplays him for it.
And as it should be.
As it should be. And so a big factor in that is Money in the Bank because Roman, he's in a title match, right? He's facing Edge. So your Money in the Bank winner could cash in on Roman or Edge right after the match and take the title.
Mm-hmm.
They could just run down and take it. Like, that's how this works. So it's that ever-present threat to Roman that I think he kind of needs to put that pressure on him to sort of have him be like, okay, well, now what do I do? Because that's a distraction for him. That's something to take his mind off of it.
Yeah.
Or that's somebody to take his mind away from other problems that are his family and that whole continuation of feud, and maybe things start to unravel with that. I don't know. But as much as I love E, I don't think it's going to do him any good. I kind of want to see Kevin. I really kind of want to see it with Kevin.
All right, so
is that bad? Is
no,
that wrong?
No, it's not wrong. It's a good thought. It'd be because Kevin can play it many different ways if he wins the briefcase. So you're going Kevin.
I'm going Kevin.
I'll go Big E. Magic 8-Ball will Kevin Owens win Money in the Bank on Sunday. April says yes.
Oh, Lord, I'm screwed.
You're completely screwed. Wheel.
Kevin Owens.
Oh, I'm doubly screwed! I'm so screwed!
That was good. That was good job, Wheel.
All right, I'm going to bookend the two matches.
Okay.
So up next, you have your Raw Tag Team Championship on the line as AJ Styles and Omos take on the Viking Raiders.
Okay. Omos is awesome. He is just... There's something there with Omos. He's very much a project, right? We've seen little snippets of him. We saw him on Monday. He looked dominant and everything. He's a project. So we gotta stay in the tag team until he gets his legs fully underneath him, right? Viking Raiders are a great team. We all know that. I think right now the AJ Omos thing is too good to break up right now.
It's too powerful. It's just, it works. And it really, really works.
Because it works on many different levels, right? It's great for television with Omos and AJ, that chemistry right there, and the presence of Omos always with AJ. So them having the belts, their cockiness can continue. But it's also great for house shows because Omos is an attraction with AJ Styles, and they can work a lot together, and he can learn a lot from AJ. So them being tag team and champs really works. Because you don't need AJ Styles to be in the title picture right now. You can save that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, this right here is going to be a good match. Viking Raiders are a great team. AJ Styles and Omos, though, is right now where the money is. Because coming SummerSlam, you can look at, imagine this, AJ Styles and Omos versus RK-Bro. That's a match.
That would be... Well, they have to find Randy Orton.
Randy's on summer vacation. Let's all be real. Randy went on summer vacay until the fans came back. He took a 4th of July holiday and just went, I'll see you back when the fans are there, because Randy needed his summer vacation.
Randy needed a break. He really kind of did, and I think...
He took his kids, they went wherever.
Well, I think part of it was originally after WrestleMania, I believe Randy was supposed to get a break, and then they were like, yeah, nah, man.
No, we're going to keep you around because reasons, and now you're just going to be with Riddle, and now you want summer break? Cool, take it for 3 weeks.
So...
Because Riddle held his own without him and is still pushing the team, which is... Great. And you know it's still a long-term thing because they made merch.
Yeah, like, Riddle has been owning the crap out of this, which I have to respect. Because it's not easy when your tag team partner is like, yeah, I'm just gonna F off for 3 weeks, you know? And Riddle's like, yeah, man, no, cool. Like, the way that they've been teasing this, although... I have to admit, like, I kind of want Riddle to adopt Damian Priest and the two of them just go off. And Randy comes back and he's like, yeah, no, man, I replaced you.
And then you can spawn a Randy-Damian Priest feud.
Where they fight over Matt Riddle.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of here for all of it. I really am. But in terms of the Viking Raiders, these are not the Viking Raiders of old. These are the new... And maybe not improve Viking Raiders. I don't know. They're not really pushing them that hard. And I think the power of AJ and Omos is just too strong.
All right, I'm going AJ and Omos. You're going AJ and Omos.
Mm-hmm.
8-Ball, will the Viking Raiders win on Sunday? Concentrate and ask again. Will the Viking Raiders win on Sunday? It is decidedly so. So there you go on that. And Wheel?
Wrestler 2.
That would be the challengers, the Viking Raiders. All right, what's next?
Up next, we have Rhea Ripley taking on Charlotte Flair for the Raw Women's Championship.
The one question with this match is, who am I supposed to cheer for? And that is the most difficult question to answer.
I think technically Rhea.
But is it, though, from a character perspective, you're really not digging Rhea as a... face.
Yeah, but Charlotte's literally a Disney villain, so
this is true. That's a fact.
I feel like by default, because Charlotte's the Disney villainess, that like it makes Rhea the good guy technically, although it's shades of gray in terms of good and evil here. I don't know. This feud for me, and I think for a lot of people, it's just kind of been there. They haven't really done anything terribly groundbreaking. Like, Charlotte's been owning the heel character and she's been doing some good work with it, but I think overall people are just like meh on it because, again, it's one of those holding pattern feuds that they aren't going to do anything super hardcore on it. Mm-mm. Right? Like, they're just going to be like, yeah, okay, we're just going to do this until we get the fans back, and then we're going to kick off a lot of the storylines. And so for this, it's like, okay, well, you've had some good moments. You had Rhea, like, or Charlotte basically try to be like, oh, my knee, and then Charlotte and Rhea's like, yeah, no, I call BS on that. So you had some good moments between the two.
Mm-hmm.
I think Charlotte's going to get booed on Sunday. I think Rhea might get a pop on Sunday. It's hard to say.
Her reaction will be interesting. Charlotte's the definite heel. Rhea's the shades of gray in this match. Okay. You can say what you want about Charlotte in the title picture, and if you want commentary like that, listen to the Sunday show. Charlotte Flair is the biggest name in terms of challengers they have on Monday Night Raw. That is why she's in the title picture. Should they find something else for her to do? Yes. I'm not disagreeing with, but it's not going to turn me away from seeing Rhea Ripley, Charlotte Flair in front of fans for the first time. Because
yeah,
we've been waiting for this in front of fans for 16 months.
We got cheated out of it last year because WrestleMania had to go to the PC. Like, we were supposed to have the match at WrestleMania last year. We didn't. We got the match, but we didn't get the fan reactions. They had to do it in a silent building. They've done it in the Thunderdome now a few times, and it's been better, but I think we really, really need to see it with the crowd. I'm going to be selfish and say we deserve that. They deserve that. This is one of those that they deserve that moment.
They've been waiting 16 months for that. If you got to think, look back and where we were, they were home cooking, not home cooking, but they were making Rhea Ripley the star in Tampa. That was the plan. And it didn't happen because there were no fans. Now we're back 16 months later. The feud is a little drawn out. We're kind of over Charlotte a little bit, but she's still the biggest name they got until a man rolls around.
If the man goes to Raw, the man could go to SmackDown.
The man could go to SmackDown, but I'm thinking a boss is headed in that picture for now. So I think a man's coming around for the winner here at SummerSlam. Imagine one that scenario. I'm in for it. But, like, Rhea Ripley still needs that defining championship win. She got it WrestleMania against Asuka, but she needs that defense. A win in front of the audience for Rhea on Sunday does more than Charlotte winning 15 title reign. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, I completely agree with that. I think you can have Rhea take this, defend successfully against Charlotte, and then you move Charlotte on to someone else. Potentially somebody that you're going to call up from NXT, right? Like, because we know that's coming. We know that's going to happen where you begin to use Charlotte to build the women's roster back up, get people over, and move her on that way. And then you move Rhea on to another challenger, which they have not built yet, and they need to build. And that's also part of the problem for Rhea, is just they have not built her really any successful challengers outside of Charlotte. But I think they are building it in Nikki A.S.H.
And we'll go through a bunch of them in a few minutes. And, you know, the man could be a factor as well. So there's tons of scenarios in play, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Rhea is the most likely winner?
I'm going to say they keep it on Rhea. I don't think you need to put it on Charlotte. She doesn't need the title. It would be her billionth title win. I don't think it does anything for the division to put it back on Charlotte. I'm going Rhea. I think it stays on her till at least SummerSlam.
Okay, I'm going Rhea. You're going Rhea. 8-Ball, will Rhea Ripley retain on Sunday? Sources say nope.
Mm.
Magical Wheel of Fun?
Wrestler 2.
That's the challenger, Charlotte Flair.
Mm.
All right, next.
Up next, we have the WWE Championship on the line as Bobby Lashley takes on Kofi Kingston for the title. This has been a good feud. We had Bobby take a very serious turn on Monday night where he was done with the ladies. He's done with the VIP lounge. He's done with the champagne. He is tired of messing around and being distracted. He wants to be serious. He wants to be aggressive. He wants to take out Kofi Kingston because our dude lost to Xavier Woods clean and he's pissed about it. I say go forth and conquer, sir, because I've been kind of sort of advocating for months that Bobby Lashley needs to be more serious. He needs to be more aggressive, and having him be around with the ladies, as lovely as they are, I feel like it doesn't fit him. It doesn't fit fit who he is, you know, just judging from how they're presenting the character and the fact that you have him be Gur Arg serious and ultra aggressive pre-WrestleMania, and then he keeps the title post-WrestleMania, and now he's like, hey, it's party time, I'm gonna rest on my laurels because nobody can beat me, and then there it is, somebody did beat him. I don't know about that. I haven't necessarily been a fan of it.
So Pavi's lost to Kofi once on Raw. He then lost to Woods, and it set him off and became Gur-R serious. And this is going to not be a great take for some people, but if the plan is to make Bobby Lashley a dominator again, this match should go less than 5 minutes and Kofi kicks and gets his ass whooped. Not saying that's a smart idea, but if you want to make Lashley the dominator, Kofi needs to take a whooping.
Yeah.
To make Lashley look better, so he's next. Got it.
I don't want Omega.
I know. The contractual reasons are what they are. But
I know, but I don't want it.
But if you're going to have to make Lashley dominant.
Oh yeah, no, he needs to take Kofi down.
This should not be a 20-minute match. Will it? It'll probably be 10 to 15 minutes, and it'll be a back-and-forth battle, and Lashley will overcome Kofi. But if you want to make a story and make a shocking moment and set an example of, I've run through Drew McIntyre, I've run through all these people, and I ran through the New Day, and yada, yada, yada. Lashley's a dominator. Lashley should dominate Kofi. But then everyone will go, oh my god, I can't believe they did it to Kofi again, where he got squashed by the champ. I get it, but you know what I'm saying.
I think Kofi's going to get his moment in the sun. I think he will have another run. I just don't think it's right now. I know Bobby wants to do Kofi a solid, and that's part of the reason of this feud, is he wants to set Kofi up to give Kofi the reign that he feels he deserves. And that's super sweet of him. That's what I've heard. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know if Kofi versus Goldberg necessarily appeals and is realistic, because let's all not forget that Goldberg is the man that defeated The Fiend for the WWE Championship in Saudi right before the pandemic hit. So, I mean, if Goldberg defeats Kofi, or if Kofi defeats Goldberg, I don't know if that's entirely realistic. But then again, Kofi also beat Brock, so I don't know.
Kofi never beat Brock. Brock beat Kofi twice. Oh,
that's right. No!
Yeah, that's why everyone's mad. Brock beat Kofi in 8 seconds.
That's right.
And then
two years before,
3 minutes in Japan.
But yeah, no, I'm in agreeance with, if you're going to set Bobby Lashley up as more serious, this needs to be quick, this needs to be decisive, and you can always have Kofi come back and challenge again. Basically, he and Woods regroup, or you basically, after Bobby is done with Kofi and he's done with Goldberg, you have Woods challenge.
Also, contractual reasons guy is not winning the title.
Thank God.
I mean, since he only has 2 matches a year, I wouldn't, then again, he could win the title. Mr. Contractual Reasons could win the title, but I don't think
wants that. I think if they did that, that would result in massive viral reactions of a negative nature.
Unless,
if they had Goldberg win the title again, because
unless, hear me out, he gets cashed in on.
That would be the only reason that it's appropriate, and you would have to do it right then.
Yeah, you would do it in Vegas at SummerSlam. He gets cashed in on in Vegas to close the night. That's all. That's the only way contractual reasons would win the championship. I'm skirting around saying his name because don't want to.
We don't want it. Anyway, as much as I love Kofi, I'm going to have to say Bobby retains. I don't see him making the turn that he did on Monday and him not retaining. Now, if he had stayed the same on Monday, I would say Kofi's probably going over. But because Bobby's all pissed off now, Kofi's going to have a fight on his hands.
We'll see. Anyway, Lashley wins. Should be a squash, but that's...
We'll see.
You never say never with them being in the main mans. You never know. Anyway, by main eventing, they're on the show. You get the point. Anyway, Magic 8-Ball will Bobby Lashley retain? Hey, Magic 8-Ball, will Bobby Lashley retain? You may rely on it. Wheel.
Wrestler 2.
That'd be the challenge. Going on for all the challengers. All right, Kofi Kingston on that one.
It wants titles to change.
It does.
Up next, we have the Universal Championship on the line as Roman Reigns takes on Edge. First time ever. It's going in front of a crowd. This is going to probably be ridiculous. There's going to be stupidity. There will be Usos involved.
So when Seth Rollins comes up short in the ladder match, he's going to be pissed, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be pissed that someone has his opportunity. That person is Edge. They slow teased it like 2-3 weeks ago when it was announced Edge was in the match. And then last week on SmackDown, they had a confrontation. And Edge spoofed him on the bump this week in his ridiculousness. So there's been already some social media engagement and the like between the two. Edge and Seth Rollins is the plan, as it were, going forward. And probably not for the WWE Universal title. Edge has come back looking for revenge against Roman Reigns. And he's had to deal with the Uso factors and... He's had a kind of gone one up on them, and he won up them by having Mysterio show up and leading to a 6-man tag on SmackDown tomorrow, which should be a lot of fun. Think about this, right? Through this whole pandemic era, right? Remember Dominic debuted last SummerSlam, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because of how the card structured out at WrestleMania, he had a wrestle at the Thunderdome on the Friday SmackDown. This will be his first match in front of fans tomorrow night. For Dominic Mysterio. Talk about craziness. That should be fun. Roman's your champion going forward. He's the head of the table. We've talked about it all night. He's the man right now for them. Edge and Roman are going to have a fantastic match.
This is going to be something to behold. I really kind of can't wait for this. I think this is technically Edge's first match back since he got hurt.
No, he wrestled at WrestleMania.
Since Mania, that's what I meant.
He did the Rumble, he did Mania. He's fought since he's been healed. He's wrestled on SmackDown. He's wrestling tomorrow night on SmackDown. He's fought one of the Usos on SmackDown. So there's all that. It's very plain and simple of what's going to happen in this one. There's going to be a screw job at the end with Seth Rollins crossing Edge the title.
And we're all here for it.
We're all here for it. Before you give your opinion really quick, Ash... Psycho Sid is never going to wrestle again and will never probably be in a WWE ring. All right, your thoughts?
That bridge is like burned, buried, and never being rebuilt.
He's too busy playing softball or trying to find someone's trying to find scissors. Anyway.
Anyway, I like Roman versus Edge. I think the match will be absolutely fantastic. I think it's going to be physical. I think you're going to have the Usos involved. But yeah, I think Seth, they've been teasing it too hard to not go there with it. I think Seth is going to potentially cost Edge and or try to interfere in the match. And in the end, the two are going to end up fighting at another pay-per-view, possibly SummerSlam. And I'm here for that. I'm here for that level of sass between these two. Because I feel like Seth is in a really similar place to where Edge was at that point in his career. And they're, at least to me, they feel like mirrors of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the way that they kind of like... with the way that the characters are and how opportunistic the characters are and how they act and their mannerisms, that kind of thing. I just see them that they're, it's like if Ed, like I see where Edge was in the Rated R Superstar kind of thing, kind of coming out of that, kind of into the Ultimate Opportunist. And yeah, I just see the parallels between the two. I'm not explaining it well, but I just see it. And it's like, yeah.
There's a lot of similarities with Seth Rollins and Edge in terms of character and dynamic and everything going on. You see people who are hungry. Like, Rollins was talking about how, you know, this is the best he's been. He's on a roll and, like, he's being left out because Edge is now jumping the line that Seth thought he had. So, I know the argument is, oh, it should be a clean finish in the front of the fans of the first night, the first pay-per-view back. It's like, I get that, but no.
I don't think Edge is there to win any more championships. I don't think he needs to. He said, what, he's won 31 titles in WWE?
No.
Like, he doesn't need any more. He's there to kind of fulfill his destiny in terms of he lost 10 years of his career. 10 years of his career.
And he came back and they lost the fans.
Yeah, so it's like he's here to get... He performed one time in front of the fans, and then they were gone. And granted, he got hurt at WrestleMania, so he's been out up until very recently, and then he was able to come back.
No, he got hurt. He was fine at WrestleMania. He got hurt at Extreme Rules.
Right.
He got hurt in the greatest match
ever. Greatest wrestling match ever.
Yeah. He didn't get hurt at WrestleMania. He came back for the Rumble and worked WrestleMania and then took a break and is coming back for this.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's the timeline. Just so everyone's aware.
Anyway. Edge is here to fulfill his destiny. That's what I'm trying to say.
He's trying to play out his career on his terms. So
I think we've all been saying Roman's been abusing, but we're not going there with that right now. So I don't see Edge and Roman being the destiny. I don't see a title in Edge's future. I don't think he needs a title. I see him wanting to work with who he wants to work with. I think Roman is absolutely on that list. I think Seth is on that list. I think there's money in both, but I think the better feud will be Edge and Seth, just because they can do all the sass and all the insults and all the back and forth and just own it, right? Seth's character is more naturally set up for that, whereas Roman's character is not. They've had a good feud. It's going to be a very intense, serious match, but I think you're going to see something different coming out with Edge and Seth, and I'm here for it. But I say Roman keeps the title. There's no reason to take it off him right now.
If they wanted to put the belt on Edge, it would have happened at WrestleMania. Roman Reigns wins on Sunday. Magic 8-Ball, does Roman Reigns win? Definitely yes. And Wheel?
Wrestler 1.
The Wheel won't go against the Tribal Chief.
Because it's smart.
We'll see.
And last but certainly not least, your women's Money in the Bank ladder match. Asuka, Naomi, Alexa Bliss, Nikki Ash, Liv Morgan, Natalya, Zelina Vega, and Tamina Snuka vie for a chance to get the briefcase. Why would you do this to Tamina? I love her to death. She deserves the opportunity. I'm not saying she doesn't, but why would you put her in a ladder match with her knees? That's mean. That's so mean. Y'all, no.
Yeah, she's just the body to fill the spot for Carmella, who's fighting Bianca on SmackDown tomorrow, because Carmella was going to have that spot.
Yeah.
So they need a fourth SmackDown woman, and they were not going to put Shotzi or Tegan in that spot right now. And they're waiting to debut Tony. Bianca and Bayley were supposed to fight for the title in an I Quit match, which I'm so sad we're not going to see, because that was going to be awesome. But Bianca and Carmella will be good tomorrow night on SmackDown. So you look at this match and like, okay, Tamina Snuka is not winning this one. If they somehow give it to her, and that blow my mind. I don't see her doing that. You look at Asuka. We're going to start there. Asuka's been great, right?
Mm-hmm.
She won the contract last year and got the title when Becky went out with being pregnant. We've told the Asuka story. We've told the Asuka story for, 4 years now?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we need to retell the story anymore. So it's like, I don't think she needs the briefcase, right?
No, she just won it last year. I don't think she needs to win it again.
Right, and she's as someone who's always in the title picture, Asuka's pretty much been in the title picture for the last year or two and other years. You know what I mean? She's like, she's always there, just like Charlotte. But I understand the Charlotte thing. You look at Natalya. Go with her next, right? We like Natalya. She's a great wrestler. She's won from bell to bell. She's the most technically skilled wrestler they have, just from all the basic technical stuff, right? So there's that. I don't think she needs the back briefcase. I don't think that's for her. What about you?
I think for me, I love Natty. I think she's wonderful, but Natty always kind of gets trapped by the one thing that's really kind of haunted her, at least to me, her entire career, and that is her acting ability. Natty, I don't think it's suited to Natty, just because part of being the Money in the Bank winner and the way that we've seen it handled in the past is you are a pest. You are a constant annoyance. You have to be a certain level of extra to really have it. And some people do it better than others, but being the Money in the Bank winner, it doesn't lend itself attitude-wise to Natty. Natty is a better champion than she would be a Money in the Bank winner. Like, she's better at holding the title because she can be smug about being a champion. But Natty just, to me, Natty can't quite fully let go and make that commitment to being anything other than Natty Neidhart, niece of Bret Hart, niece, cousin, related to Bret Hart. She's mm-hmm. a Hart. She's part of the Hart dynasty. Like, she can't move past that because that's so ingrained in who she is, and she's so proud of it, and rightfully so, that it's just like she just can't quite get past that. So to me, I just feel like Natty is the Money in the Bank winner. That doesn't necessarily lend itself to each other.
So what was the descriptor you used about the Money in the Bank winner?
Extra. Zelina, obnoxious.
Zelina Vega fits those.
Oh, Jesus. I want Zelina to win it so bad. Oh, my God. She came back, and they put her in the match, and I'm like, do it. Do the thing. Like, every other woman in this match. Okay, you know, you're excited for every other woman, but they put Zelina Vega in this, and Mom did not get to wrestle a lot when she was in WWE on the first run. She was a manager. They had her be a manager. She was exceptionally good at it. They let her wrestle from time to time, but now she's kind of out from under Andrade, and she can do her own thing. For the love of God, give it to her. Because she could be out there tormenting whoever is on Raw. She can torment Bianca. Absolutely be in her face about it. Like, hey, what's up? How you doing? And Zelina's crafty enough in the way that they have her portrayed that she will absolutely be able to take that title off Bianca. No problem. She can outwit her any day of the week, twice on Sunday.
She's the most extra woman they have.
Like, push Zelina Vega to the moon. Please push her to the moon because she's just incredible.
So that's the Zelina Vega thing. Naomi? Always a good choice. We always want good things for Naomi, but I don't think this is hers.
I think there are other stronger contenders. I think if they needed Naomi, they would put it on her in a heartbeat. But I think there are other contenders in this that are a little bit stronger than her.
There are two feel-good stories in this match. The names are Liv Morgan and Nikki A.S.H. They've been building up Liv Morgan recently since Ruby Riott was let go. And they've been building her up as someone seeking an opportunity. Seeking a chance. And she wants to prove that she belongs. This is an opportunity for her to prove where she stands in the company is. Is this her big moment? Or her big breakout moment? Because that's what the Money in the Bank ladder match is. You talk about someone being action or whatever. But it's also about building, making some. And out of everyone who needs to be made, it's Liv Morgan, you know?
They're exceptionally high on Liv. They've been high on Liv for years now. And they kind of put her in the Lana storyline. It completely, totally fizzled. Nobody was really into it at all. And so they put her back in the Riott Squad. They've had her pal around with Ruby Riott for a while now. It works because we all love the Riott Squad. But they broke them back up. They want to do something with Liv. They're looking to do something with Liv. I don't know, though, if it's going to be the Money in the Bank winner.
But she's a feel-good story, if you want. You know what I mean?
Feel-good story if she wins, because she's kind of gone from being obscurity to they're slowly building momentum with her. They're putting it behind her, especially now that Ruby's gone. She's out to prove something. She's got a chip on her shoulder, and it's I'm going to make you pay attention to me. I'm not going to let you sweep me off to the side. I'm going to make you watch me. I'm going to make you see how good I am. And when you see it, you're going to have no choice but to give me everything that I want.
Good use of the catchphrases.
Thank you. And I think she's right there on the cusp.
Yeah.
Like, I really do. I believe that they've got her right there. Again, I don't know about Money in the Bank. I think she would be a good Money in the Bank winner. But again, I think, at least for me personally, there's a stronger contender there in Zelina Vega, especially with Bianca as champion. I think you need, I don't mean this as an insult, but I think you need a less strong champion to put Liv up against, unless you just really build Liv as this monster, badass character that could take down somebody like Bianca. Because right now, I don't really see it in her. There's still a little bit too much of that sweet little girl stuff going on for me.
And also the dynamic between Bianca and Liv is babyface, and that doesn't play out. You need the heel for that to work. And there could be a heel champion with Sasha coming back, and Sasha Liv could be something down the line.
Sasha Liv could be like what Bayley and Sasha was. You could build that feud between the two again.
And the other feel-good story was Nikki A.S.H., the almost superhero. The crowd is going to love her. I said a few weeks ago when she debuted the gimmick. The crowd's going to love her. You see the fan art. The girls are going to love her. They come to the shows. She's going to be the most over thing they got.
Bayley 2.0.
It's Bayley 2.0. It's something for the little girls to get behind. It's going to be cool. Nikki A.S.H. will be cool. The house shows. She's going to be, be epic for her. She can run around. You got to get her merch. Like, little capes for the girls. That's merch. Just do it. Do the thing.
Yeah, market the shit out of her.
She has a shot at winning. Because they're unique contenders on Raw, and she's been built up, and she was in the middle of the love triangle between Charlotte and Rhea, and now, you know, she's trying to prove herself as this almost superhero. And they really see something in her, and thank goodness they do. So those are your two feel-goods, right? And then there's your wild card in Alexa.
I think Alexa's a Money in the Bank champion, or contender, is interesting.
It's so interesting.
I really almost want to see her with the briefcase just to see what she does with it and what they have her do with it. Because she's lost Lily. They have put Lily away.
She's in permanent timeout right now.
She's in permanent, even though they've got her on WWE Shop. You can buy her.
Say you can buy her on Shop.
They have discontinued Lily for right now off of TV because I think the Shayna stuff was just a little too much for everybody to handle. So they were like, yeah, no, we're not going that direction. So Alexa haunting the champions, haunting Rhea, haunting potentially Charlotte, whoever wins that match, whoever the champion is after that, because she doesn't have to cash in that night. Like, basically just being, again, the ever-present pest with the Money in the Bank, her messing with people, the psychological warfare she could do, I think would be really good for her. It would give her something, because they've sort of watered her down. They've had to, because they're going back out on the road, so she can't do the supernatural stuff of what she's done in the Thunderdome. So you have to bring her down, you have to make her more human, and I think giving her the Money in the Bank would give her that edge, especially as you're trying to rebuild her as a wrestler, because she's spent a lot of time out of the ring working with Bray, working with other people, and she hasn't gotten to wrestle as much because they've been protecting her. So now it's, you have the opportunity to really kind of strap the rocket back to her again and do something fun and different and interesting with her. Like, I'm almost down to where it's like, I don't know who to pick between Alexa or Zelina. I really don't know.
Alexa with a briefcase, the magic that could happen with it is something. It's really something.
The other side to that, though.
All right, do your theory. Go ahead. Go throw it out there. Let the world know what you're thinking.
Is part of me, because now that the fans are back, and in theory, he's supposed to come back. When the fans come back, is that Ubu Bear Bray, the Fiend.
The Darkness.
The Darkness makes his long anticipated return at Money in the Bank, and he returns the favor that Alexa so kindly paid him at WrestleMania, and he screws her out of the Money in the Bank contract. I also have another theory about it too, but I'll save that for another time. But yeah, that's just me personally wanting that, because I have not seen Bray Wyatt since WrestleMania and I'm pissed about it.
But from a logical storytelling standpoint, it makes sense.
It makes complete sense, and you don't necessarily have to do a feud between the two, but the way that you close that loop with them, because it never really got explained why she betrayed him other than Lily made her do it and she was sick of his shit, why she ever hooked up with him in the first place, why she controlled him, what she did with him, where he's been all these months. There's been no anything about that. And I understand that they can bring him back and he can explain it in one promo and it'll be fine, and he probably will. But they've left that sort of loose end just hanging because, at least for me, she left with the Fiend. They disappeared together. Like, she straight up fucking kidnapped him. And nobody has said anything about it. It's just fine. And he's just missing. And everybody's just continuing about their day because it's the Fiend, right? Nobody cares about the Fiend. You know, if he's lost in a box somewhere, okay, fine. All the better. He's not attacking people, right? Except when he gets out of the box, he's going to be really pissed. So I just, for me personally, in my own selfish desires, I want to see them close that loop. I want to see them close that loose end and tie it up and make sure it's all nice and neat in a bow, so that way you can move forward and you can go back to it later if you need to. But I think I would just sit here and cackle if Bray Wyatt rolled up and screwed Alexa out of Money in the Bank. He's just like, yeah, no, we're not doing that. You remember that match with Orton where I wanted to kill him more than anything? Hey, guess what? Payback's a bitch. It won't happen, though. But yeah, God, this is so hard with this match. Because I want either Zelina, or I kind of really want Alexa to win. And I don't know who to pick.
It works better with heels. But we're also in an era where you're trying to pop a crowd, right? So the feel-good of Nikki and Liv winning would make sense. But in the men's, we have the feel-good moment with a either Kevin or Big E winning. So it would make sense that you get the big baby face pop. And then the women, you can also, they'll pop. Zelina will get a pop for winning. And Alexa would get a pop for winning because you don't know how the crowd's going to accept her because they put Alexa on the babyface side in all this. Strange as it is, she's been booked more tweener than, I couldn't say babyface with a straight face, than anything. But like, you don't know how the crowd react because they've reacted well at WrestleMania. Like, that's the thing. Until the big disaster, she was received very positively by the crowd.
Yeah, if you just hadn't had her screw Bray Wyatt over,
That whole thing didn't give the fans the moment. So, we eliminated a lot of people. My final four, Alexa, Nikki, Liv, and Zelina, they're a nice rounded four of individuals. Each would tell a different story with the briefcase. My brain was going to spit out the winner, but there was no winner to spit out. Like, I'm going to eliminate Nikki.
Nikki's too early.
I think, yeah, I'm agreeing with you. So eliminate her. I don't know if they see Zelina as I don't know if Zelina's there for them yet. Like, the sass and everything is there, but I don't know if she's like, I don't know if she's ready to go there. And I have Big E winning on SmackDown, so you gotta give it Alexa. Yeah, I'll go Alexa. I kind of wanted to pick Liv, but I'll go Alexa at the end.
Yeah, I think I kind of gotta go with Alexa too. I don't see it being Asuka. I don't see it being Naomi, although it'd be cool if they gave it to Naomi. It's too early for me on Nikki. It's too early for me on Liv. I think they need to build her up a little bit more. Natty's a no. Zelina, God, I wish they would, but they won't. And Tamina's a no. So I think Alexa's the most intriguing outside of Zelina. That makes sense. So I say her.
8-ball, will Zelina Vega win Money in the Bank? Okay. Will Liv Morgan win Money in the Bank? Better not tell me. Will Nikki Ash win Money in the Bank? Ask him later. Will Alexa Bliss win Money in the Bank, 8-ball? Probably did that one too quick. There we go. Signs point to yes for Alexa on that one. And finally, the wheel.
The dreaded wheel.
Alexa Bliss.
We're screwed. We're 100% fucked. Screwed. We're screwed. Alexa's not winning. Damn it, wheel. You had to be different. You just had to be different. You had one job to be different. You didn't have to agree with us. God damn it, wheel. But that's our show. Go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Leave your picks. You can do it in the Discord if you would like as well. There's a pick'em channel. All that fun stuff.
That's right. So you got stuff to plug. So plug away because we are done.
Hey guys, remember our short show last week? See?
We're back.
We could talk. We had stuff that we wanted to talk about this week. Alright, Saturday night, midnight is another edition of CBRadio.com, GrowTheGreatDebate.com, Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio, we'll review Money in the Bank. When did it end? Probably around 10:30, 11 p.m. Probably 11, because it starts at 8 now, so 11 p.m. Eastern. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To talk about all things Money in the Bank, NXT, and more. It's at Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms and wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or the Google Podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Like mentioned, do the Discord command and chat. Join our Discord, all that fun stuff. You can also, if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming, and support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. Or you can use creator code ROCKETSOCK or
Linz M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shopper Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are Epic partners.
Also, Fortnite with friends Saturday at 10:30.
Ding! You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LANSWARD. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been seeing The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be back next week with our Money in the Bank review. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.